If you would turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 55. Psalm chapter number 55. I began a series a few months ago titled Weathering the Storms of Life. And just due to numbers of different things that were going on, this series has weathered a few storms along the way. You know, we've just had a hard time trying to finish it. And so this is really the last message I will preach in this series. But we've done the weathering a storm of hurtful relationships. And that is a little different than tonight's message. This is not really a repeat, but there's been other sermons we've gone through. We've had about six messages we've gone through in this. But Psalm chapter 55. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate that. Psalm chapter 55. Let me begin reading in verse number 1. Bible says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is their dwellings, and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Isn't that where it always begins and ends anyways? It's the Lord who's going to save us. "Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He had delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Tonight we'll talk about this subject, weathering the storm of betrayal. Let's pray together. Lord, we come asking for your help and guidance upon this particular moment in time. Help us to gain what we need from this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The psalm that we just read, Psalm 55, is all about treachery and betrayal. The psalmist who wrote this, David, felt surrounded by his enemies, under pressure, and facing trouble. Verse 3 just summarizes it well. In verses 4 to 5, we see that his heart is in anguish as he felt like death was nearby, while fear, trembling, and horror filled his thoughts. Verse number 6, all his desire was to get out of here. In fact, look at this, what it says in verse 6. "If I had wings like a dove, I'd just go ahead and fly away to a place where I'd be safe, where nobody would harm me, nobody would touch me." Now, when we talk about this subject of betrayal tonight, it's important for us to define and look at what it is. Betrayal is when a person maliciously, and intentionally acts to hurt another person by breaking his or her trust. Now, trust is betrayed when people lie about you, gossip about you, cheat on you, humiliate you, etc. And truthfully, as I have put, it's one thing for a stranger to go ahead and mock you or ridicule you. But it's those who you love and say they loved you in return. It's those that you trusted who can then turn around and betray you. And that's truly what makes it so painful. This chapter number 55 is all centered around a man by the name of David and a great betrayal that he had in his life. I think for us to understand the deep sorrow and the pain that David went through, it is imperative that we briefly rehearse the story and the interaction of a father, David, and his son, Absalom. There was another son, actually, of David that we must introduce in the story first by the name of Amnon. Amnon was a young man who forced his sister Tamar to have physical relationship with him. He raped her, literally. The other brother, Absalom, finds out about this, and he is so hurt by it and so moved by anger that he begins to plot to kill his brother, his half-brother, Amnon. And certainly he does it and carries it out. And when David, the father, finds out about the murder, Absalom runs off and goes to the king of Geshur. Now, we don't think that the king of Geshur is anybody really of importance, but it really is, because it happened to be Absalom's maternal grandfather. Now, for 3 years, Absalom is there with his maternal grandfather, and he's basically trying to figure out what's going to go on with life. But there is no interaction with his father, David. No communication. Nothing is happening between father and son. And finally, after a bunch of movement by people around David that are close to him, they begin to implore David to call Absalom back. And against maybe whatever judgment he has, he goes ahead and calls Absalom back. But he brings him back home, but still does not see him. When Absalom is back, Absalom is so hurt by that action of his father that, I don't know, he may have already been planning this for those 3 years that he was away, but he begins to plot about taking over the kingdom. Now, there's one thing about this particular story that I have read on many, many occasions. And as an assistant pastor, when I served for 20 years under a particular pastor, I made a reference early on in my ministry that I would not be an Absalom. And I'll tell you, when I have opportunity to talk to young men that are going into the ministry, and I've had opportunities to be in a few colleges and talk to young men that are going on, and I always tell them, make a decision as a young man that when you work under a senior pastor, you will determine not to be an Absalom. Now you say, preacher, is it possible that that can happen? I'll tell you what, and you'd almost have to laugh at this to know the pastor that I worked under. But it was funny. I'd have people come out many times and shaking hands, and I'd be shaking hands, and they'd say things that would be divisive between me and that pastor. You know what I did every time? I'd always say, we have a great pastor. I love my pastor. You know what that did? That killed any division in that church by that person. Because the devil likes to come in any way and start dividing in small fashions. But I'll tell you what, I don't do the devil's dirty work. And neither should you. How important it is that if somebody comes and says, you know, the preacher this, you ought to be able to say, you know what, the preacher, he at least tries to stay according to the book and be able to kill what's going on. But this man, Absalom, what did he do? He did everything to pull people to his side. He did everything to go ahead and get people to not have allegiance to David, but to have allegiance to him. And over a period of time, Absalom had gained such popularity, had gained such fame amongst the people. The people loved Absalom that it soon was seen by David and those in the palace that they no longer could stay and had to get out. There were so many people that had followed Absalom. And I tell you, it's sad to read these words of David as he leaves the palace. But David, in his leaving, leaves a number of people behind in place. He leaves a faithful friend behind and some of his sons. He leaves a prophet behind. He leaves a couple of the priests behind. And they go ahead and help David and bring some word to him as he's running around trying to get away from Absalom. But David also leaves 10 concubines, which are behind. Now, we know what Absalom did. Absalom went in and laid with every one of those concubines because he was given word by one of these counselors that you show to the people. In fact, I have a strong belief that where David committed the sin with Bathsheba, Absalom committed that same sin with every one of those concubines before the people to let them know, I'm in charge now. I'm the king. But David had left those concubines behind, and some commentators have indicated that he was not abdicating his throne. By leaving the concubines there, he was just simply leaving the palace. But when we read this, what are we reading here about Absalom and what he's doing to his own father is a betrayal. Now, when we read the pages of Scripture, there's some pretty incredible betrayals, aren't there? I mean, we read about Joseph betrayed by his own brothers. We read about the Apostle Paul betrayed by co-workers in the ministry. And the greatest of all betrayals is none other than Judas, who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. But this one ranks up there. And I really believe that this betrayal of Absalom towards his father ranks up there as a very high betrayal for two reasons. Number one, there was multiple betrayals involved. Think about this. His own son Absalom took away the people's loyalty. But also his trusted counselor. Remember that man, Ahithophel? I know you have to remember that name, Ahithophel, okay? Surprised I pronounced it right. But this man, Ahithophel, went ahead and had been a trusted counselor of David, but decided that he was going to follow Absalom. So Absalom, Ahithophel. But how about Ziba? Remember Mephibosheth's servant? Remember how he lied about the fact of why Mephibosheth did not come? He lied about it and he betrayed David. But then what about all the people that followed Absalom? Think about how that hurt David. Man, I can see David. I've read this many times with tears coming down my eyes. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30, where the Bible says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up." Can you imagine that? How he has his head covered, the Bible says, and he went barefoot, and all the people went covered, every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. I can imagine David looking back at the palace, looking at all those people who once had been followers of him, but are now followers of this betrayer. And yet this man is so hurt. There's multiple betrayals that are going on. No wonder why David wrote in another Psalm, chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." David had found betrayal on so many different fronts and it hurt his soul. But in a greater way is this. It was people he was very close to. Think about it. His own son that he had raised. A young man with a bright future. A good-looking man. A very likable man. No wonder why he attracted people to him. Can you imagine how that hurt David? I mean, out of all people, maybe a counselor, maybe this person, but your own son. It's a betrayal. I think about Ahithophel. Again, that man with a funny name. This man was one of his trusted counselors. And it was said of him in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, that when he counseled, it was like a man had inquired at the oracle of God. This man was a very trusted man. This man, David, had talked to many times and had received much help of the Lord through this great counselor. But I want you to know who Ahithophel was and how close he was to David. When you read through the scriptures, do you remember when David had his top 30 men, generals, if you will? Remember those 30 men who were the most trusted of David? Do you realize Ahithophel was one of those 30? They were with David even before he was king. They were with David when he was running from Saul, when he was being hurt by Saul and had all these things going on. That's how long Ahithophel had been with David. And now Ahithophel breaks with David and betrays him. Now you say, why this man Ahithophel? Well, do you realize in the Bible Ahithophel was actually happened to be the grandfather of Bathsheba? Now, it is ascertained by some, and people have conjectured that it could be that since David had killed Bathsheba's first husband, that Ahithophel had possibly been plotting against David. And on it could go. But David wrote in Psalm chapter 41, verse 9, possibly talking about this man Ahithophel, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Powerful. You know, when I think about betrayal and the way it's happened to David and maybe what's happened to you, the saddest thing about betrayal is it never comes from your enemies. Now that we can brace for, can't we? We can get ourselves prepared for those people that are going to, they already hate us. They're already going to say bad things. We can be prepared for that. But a friend? A close confidant? A family member? It's hard to experience. And maybe this is your experience. Maybe you've suffered some profound betrayal. It could be a spouse who was unfaithful to you. And you wondered whether anything in life was true anymore. Could be a parent who washed their hands of you, wanted nothing to do with you. Could be a sibling who promised to stand with you through thick and thin, but no longer wanted to be associated with you. Could be a business partner who took everything and ran, destroyed your reputation in the process. Could be very well be a friend who betrayed you. They turned out to be a two-faced person. They stopped returning your calls. They poison other people and turn those people against you. On and on it could go. But betrayal, what do we do with betrayal? I'm glad that when the hard things of life come, that we have answers from the Word of God. That's what Psalm 55 is all about. Psalm 55 is replete with answers. And I want to give you a few things here. Notice, first of all, number one, according to verses 1 and 2, call God's attention to it. Call God's attention to it. Now, notice how David prays unto the Lord. Now, I know that when we pray, we sometimes get a little bit sophisticated with God, don't we? Oh, Lord God. We kind of use this flowery language and we kind of talk in a term. But notice David here. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. I don't think I'm doing an injustice here in a man who's just been betrayed by his son and a trusted counselor and all these people that have left him. And he says, attend unto me and hear me. And then he uses these words, I mourn in my complaint. The word complaint is an interesting word. The word picture is of somebody that is musing. Now, it's not necessarily a complaint like we use it today, but it is somebody that's rehearsing over and over and over and over the issue. That's what happens when we get hurt, don't we? We tend to talk about it. But who's this person going to? They're going to God, and they're going over with God. God, I don't know why this happened. God, listen to me. Help me here. Then the word noise at the end of verse number 2 is a very interesting word. The word picture is of someone who's just been defeated in battle. It's the sigh of someone in exasperation or heaviness of heart, and their sighing and their moaning almost appears to be like a roar. They're just so devastated that they don't know what to do but just to cry out and to moan about the loss that they've just had. This is David coming before God. Now, the question for you and I is not necessarily what type of prayer David prayed, but the true question is, where do you go when you're betrayed? Where do you go when you're in trouble? David, no doubt, right off in this psalm, took his matter to the Lord. Sure, he moaned, if you will. Sure, he had noises of sighing and defeat that it was in his soul, but he took it to God. And how many times do we take our problems to other people when those people cannot help us? I might talk to you and moan about my problems and give you my noise, and all you can say is, I'll pray for you. I'm not sure how to help you. I'm not sure what I can do for you. But I'm here to tell you, when you take your matter to God and you call God's attention to it, there is a God who can hear you and will answer you. Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. It was the great commentator and preacher Matthew Henry that said in his commentary, prayer is a salve for every sore and a relief to the spirit under every burden. Powerful. Well, notice number two now. Number two is categorize the problem. Categorize it. Notice here in verse 3 and then verses 11 through 14. In verse 3 here, we see how David tells God how difficult this is. Look at this in verse number 3. He says, the voice of mine enemy, the oppression of the wicked, they've cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. The word oppression is a reference here to literally the pressure that he's under. The pressure, think about this, of having to leave the palace. The pressure of caring for all those who have left with you. The pressure of those that you left behind. And he uses this phrase here of cast iniquity here. It carries with it the idea of someone rolling stones down from up on top of a hill. You know what these people have done with their voice, with their calamity, with their hate? It's like they're taking stones and rolling them down at a hill to hurt you. David categorizes it before God. He tells God, he calls to the Lord, and then he specifies, here's what's going on in my life. But notice here how specific he is in verses 11 through 14. He tells God, you know, God, it wasn't somebody I expected it from. This is the idea from these words, for it was not an enemy that... You see, remember when David's leaving, we read in some of the chapters here how as David is leaving, all of a sudden a man, do you remember this name, Shimei? And Shimei begins pointing his finger at David and starts saying things about David. You know why David could handle that? Because it was expected. Here's a man that hated him. Here's a man that didn't want to do any good for David. But why did David wrestle with it, what Absalom did? Because it caught him in left field. It was unexpected. And so David here is referring to this person he's very familiar with. And he's familiar with them. They are with him. But now notice verses 4 to 5. When we come to God and call upon Him and categorize the problem, then we need to confess the effects that it has on us. Look at verses 4 to 5. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. David here shares his innermost feelings with God, and he takes up that matter with God. Notice how he says his heart is sore pained. Fear has gripped him. He's utterly overwhelmed. He feels like his life is over. And may I submit to you that there is nothing wrong with confessing your feelings about the matter to God. Sometimes we get this macho mentality that, we'll go ahead and we'll take care of our problems ourselves. I'm telling you what, there have been more people that have melted under their problems. But when you take it to God, I love what 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, casting all thy care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And I'll tell you, when you bring your matter before God and you begin to confess your need before God, God does something of helping you in a way that you wouldn't even have imagined before. As Christians, we often feel that we cannot wear our emotions or express them. Did not Christ cry out in the garden in agony? Sure He did. Yet notice where He took it. He took it to God the Father, not to someone else who couldn't do anything about it. We don't find a little passage of Scripture, Jesus sitting off to the side with Peter, kind of putting His arm around him. Peter, His arm around him, and Jesus saying, you know, this is just awful what God the Father is doing to me. I can't believe this. Can you? I think I'd run if I were you about serving God. No, we don't find that from Jesus. We find Jesus in His humanity wrestling with going to the cross and the betrayal that is coming to Him. But He doesn't take it to another human being. He agonizes before God. And I want to encourage you that in your quiet time, when you are wrestling through these things, you come to God. But notice here, as he calls out to God, categorizes the problem, confesses the effects. Notice verses 6 to 8. Nothing wrong with this. He concedes to wanting to flee. He concedes to wanting to flee. He references here a dove, and a dove is noted for its swiftness and flight. Basically, David says, you know what? I just want to, if I could fly, I'd just go to the safest place, the most remote place, and get away from all of this problem. But I want to tell you that many times these type of issues cause us to be so hurt that people never want to do anything for God ever again. I bet you that many of you have gone through some hurts in your life and it's caused you to take a step back. Say, you know what? I trusted this person. They hurt me. I may get burned once, but I'm not getting burned twice. You understand what I mean by that? People have that mentality. There's nothing wrong with conceding before God about wanting to get away, but I want to share with you, it may very well be that God brings you back through the fire again and again and again, because this is a sin-sick world that we live in. And this world is going to be fraught with problems. And when we live amongst people, there are going to be betrayals. There are going to be hurts that come about. Someone once said, a very small degree of betrayal is sufficient to cause the death of trust. People get betrayed, just say, I'm never trusting anybody again. C.S. Lewis, in his work, The Four Loves, wrote these words. To love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. Now think about that. Powerful words that he wrote. Because living in this world, you are vulnerable when you give your heart for your heart to be broken. When you trust someone for that trust to be broken and to be betrayed. But then I want you to notice verses 9 through 11. Call on God to frustrate their plans. Notice here the word rendered destroy properly means to swallow up, to devour, with the idea of greediness. The reference here is to the person that's conspired against David. And literally, the prayer that is prayed in verses 9 through 11 is that these people and their counsels might be destroyed. Such a prayer, as people always offer in this common sense, is victory over battle. But then lastly, and I close with this, verses 19 to 23, communicate your confidence and trust in God. Notice here, you've got to call out to God. Notice here, there's got to be a concession on the fact that you do want to run away, but you've got to stick through and do what God's asked you to do. Commit yourself to the Lord. But lastly, I see this, verses 19 to 23, commit confidence and trust in God. Now, along with betrayal comes a loss of trust, loss of friendship and fellowship, and it leaves a void. There's always this hindsight, looking back. Hindsight sometimes can be a friend. It can be a foe. But in this case, as David looked back, it allowed him to recall conversations and things where people seemed kind and genuine and all that, but he really found out it was false. Notice what he says in verse 21, their speech was as smooth as butter, softer than oil. But in the depths of their heart, you know what? All they had was a sword that was drawn to want to hurt David. David's looking back at that. And you know, it's easy for us many times after we've been hurt to look back at our life and to get angry all over again. To get bitter. To take all of that stuff up and relive all of that. And I want to challenge you. You'll never forget all the things that you've been through. But don't try to relive all that stuff. You see, this is why this last part is so important, is to communicate your confidence and trust in God. You see, that's why betrayal hurts so bad and cuts so deep. It does hurt. Betrayal always hurts. People hurt you. Betrayers always hurt people. But the psalmist, while expressing his hurt, also helps us and shows us how to respond. Look at verse number 16. I love these words. He says, as for me, I will call upon God. I'll call upon God. Oh my, I'm looking back and I'm wanting to relive this. I'm wanting to get angry again. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to look forward. I'm going to look up and I'm going to call upon God. From whence cometh my help and my confidence. The port of call for David is not someone else. He's not going back and reliving the situation. His port of call is to God alone. It is simple, but yet it is so effective. People will come and go, but I'm here to remind you, God is ever present. David writes that God himself can be contacted throughout the day. Look at this. Evening and morning and at midday. At any time that I'm starting to struggle in this area, I can come before God. And God will hear me. As I close tonight, I have two things I want you to keep in mind, and then I want to close with two questions. The two statements I want to make are this. That it's important for you that when you've betrayed, been betrayed, to forgive. And someone once said, forgiveness does not excuse their behavior. You say, well, then why should I forgive? Because here's the rest of the statement. What forgiveness does is it prevents their behavior from destroying my heart. And it's been an unfortunate thing in the ministry to sit face to face, sitting behind a desk, someone there, and the anger all over their face. Their voice, you can hear it in their words that they say. Oh, they tell you, I've forgiven that person, but their heart is cold and hard. My friend, it's imperative that you forgive. And then I want to make this other statement. Life will betray you. But God never will. Never. You may have people leave you, hurt you, do all sorts of things and evil against you. But God will always be there. Always. I leave you with these two questions and I'm done. We talk tonight about this aspect of others betraying us, and that's the gist of the message, really. But could I ask you this? Are you involved right now in betraying someone? A relative? A family member, a friend. Well, we like to bring up the hurts that have taken place in our heart. But sad to say that there have been many church-going Christians who have been very hurtful to others. And though we may talk about our hurts and the things that have taken place in our life, you need to make a decision tonight that you're not going to be that person that hurts other people. Second question I want to ask you is this, an even greater question. Have I ever betrayed my Lord? Who really, as a born-again Christian, is and should be our closest friend? You say, in what way could I betray Him? Have I betrayed Him through my actions? Have I betrayed Him with my words, my thoughts, my attitudes? Oh, we look at Judas and what Judas did. We say, oh, I'd never do that. Really? Don't speak too soon. Don't be a Peter. May God help us. If tonight you've been betrayed and hurt by somebody, may it be that you'd be able to give it before God. But would it be that you'd be a person who would be a loyal friend? May it be that you'd be loyal first and foremost to God and then to God's place and to God's man and to God's people, and that God would help you to be faithful, a faithful man who can find. We have a lot of betrayal out there, but would it be that you'd be faithful? Let's pray together. Father, thank You.